like to welcome you all today to the La Trobe University podcast. I'm your host, Matt, and joining me today is Professor Vaughan Prain. He's the Deputy Dean of Education. Let's give him a big fake round of applause. Now, you're here to talk to us today about the current teaching methods of science at schools and the new approach that's being taken. Is there a lack of science school teachers at the moment? I've heard there's a lack.
There is a concern, particularly in secondary schools, about the, and in some areas in particular in physics, that there is a problem of covering the teaching of these topics with people who have expertise in the area. Because there's often, you know, generalists or others or people with biology teaching other areas of the science curriculum.
Why is it important for primary school children to learn science?
Science is a very powerful way of learning about making claims and having justified reasons for your understanding. And science has built up some very powerful ways to test, to systematically organise your evidence so that you have a basis for your views. And we see that this is a very powerful resource for critical thinking, but also for being an informed citizen about so many issues where science seems to occur, whether it's about personal health or about global warming or many issues where we would like people to have reasoned views. And science can be, in school, an opportunity to develop these capacities.
What do Australian primary schools need to do to encourage the interest from students?
Well, I think we're getting very strong evidence that if we're looking at engagement with science, that a very powerful way to achieve this is through having guided activities or inquiry, rather than it being text-based or, you know, go on the net. It's much more engaging for students if they're involved in having to explain the causes or the key ideas, their key explanations of a topic, and they have a sequence of experiences, that can then motivate them to then want to check secondary sources to see whether experts agree with their views, to find out whether their ideas hold up against the views of other class members, and to be guided by the teacher in developing what we'd see as authorised understandings. So we would see that it's got to be a mix of exciting, interesting experiences where we have to test our understanding or explanations of what's causing something in the natural world, whether it's the distribution of bugs in a particular environment. Why is it? Why are they there? How would we explain it? Or how do we explain why, if you've got a ball in water and you push down on it, it pushes back up at you, and how would you try to capture that or re-represent it in 2D? These are ways we think you can make science, which is a demanding subject, interesting and sustained involvement by students. We found with our program that having to justify and explain your particular account of a topic is very motivating.
These new techniques that you're coming up with teaching in primary school, are you educating the next generation of teachers at university level on how to teach these sort of methods?
There's one of the things that we strongly recognise is that people involved in teacher preparation are the future of all subjects in primary school, so we are certainly making sure that these techniques and ways of thinking about teaching and learning are being presented to teacher education students.
Could you give three reasons why children should study science?
It is a powerful domain for explaining the world, and it's important as part of their general education that they have an understanding of this this worldview, this way of understanding natural phenomena. It's also a very powerful way to develop reasoning capacities that can be valuable in other subject areas. And we would see that in Australia we would want educated citizens who can make sensible decisions across all a range of areas in their life using a scientific reasoning approach.
Do you consider Australians' efforts in teaching science now as being adequate? Are you seeing that you're making a difference?
Yeah, I think there's growing evidence that from these international testing programs that science is very well taught in primary schools in Australia. There are concerns about the effectiveness of science teaching in secondary schools for a range of reasons, and I know various states and at a national level there is looking at the ways to support effective science teaching and learning in secondary schools. But the evidence is that we have a strong performance against other countries in primary schools.
How would you go about fixing the problems in secondary schools, though? Because I see it as a problem as there's a gap in knowledge.
I guess there's various concerns at the secondary level. Often it's thought there's such a gap between what the students know and what the teacher is aware of that the only way to get there is a shortcut through front-load teaching.
Front-load teaching.
Meaning the teacher just notes on the board, demonstration of the ideas, and a limited opportunity for the students to have to imagine and engage with the topic in their own way, or even in a guided way, because of the pressure of the curriculum and so many topics to be covered. This tends to produce a limited range of teaching and learning strategies in some secondary classrooms. Again, it would seem that the way to enhance science learning in secondary schools is to be able to apply some of the ideas that we've been talking about for primary. I know there's now recognition, because so many adolescents are turned off the official curriculum, that they need an opportunity for more extended projects, for following up on topics of deeper interest rather than just being frog marched through a whole range of minor curriculum points that they don't find interesting.
Well, yeah.
And the upshot of that is that we are now looking at programs where students can do more extended, maybe do fewer topics, but more extended topics. We're talking now year 8, year 9, and that this will lead to deeper knowledge and more motivation, rather than thinking we have an extensive curriculum of concepts that must be learnt.
Well, that was a problem that I had in high school, so you're addressing that now. When you're in high school, in science class, you get physics, chemistry, biology, you get all of them within a small amount of time.
There's, I guess, two ways of looking at this. One is to look at where there might be overarching or linking concepts across these topics, so you can get a richer, deeper idea rather than having to do lots of things that seem disconnected. That's one way of thinking about a richer curriculum. The other is to just not attempt such a breadth of fields, but to focus more deeply, relate it to the learner's own interests outside the classroom more strongly, so that if it's about new technologies, that it can relate directly to things that the learner is interested in having some expertise on outside the classroom, rather than just learning canonical concepts from the last century. So these are ways in which we need a more nuanced, a more learner responsive, but a more focused, deeper curriculum,
yeah,
rather than the speed across the breadth of topics in a superficial way.
The overview.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think the idea of VALS, and this is paralleled in many curricula around the world, is to have big ideas, richer concepts, and deeper learning.